Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. This is Navajo Internet Radio, and all those listeners from all over the world, so to speak. It literally is all over the world, and thank you very, very much. We are going to have a guest. In fact, he is holding online right now, and that is Mr. Richie Nez from the Office of Hearings and Appeal. And this evening's topic is going to be about the Navajo Nation's recent grievance filing that was done. Ako edigi lachit o lab banahast ido, what were the decisions that were made, and how that the exactly the whole system works, and some of the questions that I've seen that have been flying around on the news media, also on Facebook, has been is what exactly and why did that happen with the grievances, and then not only that, a bigger question, which I think is there are two grieving or periods. Of course, one is right shortly after the May candidate filing, there's a grieving or a grieve period where somebody, a candidate, can file a grievance against another candidate. And then the second grieve period is shortly after the primaries. And so I read some of the rejections that were circulated on Facebook. I looked at the topic in terms of what determines which grievance at which point. Those are some of the questions. Now, here's the thing. We have the first is, again, candidate complaint against another candidate. The second is a candidate or a is another period, and now whether or not one person complains in one, what determines which grievance is supposed to be filed for which period? Now, these are some of the questions that I'm going to be asking Mr. Richie Nez from the Office of Hearings and Appeal. Because I'm talking this evening, and I'm going to be exploring all the different options all throughout the for the rest of probably the rest of my life here on this radio show, and we're going to continue to explore all the different things that are happening on the Navajo Nation. I can see a lot of people are chiming in as we speak, and this is really an honor, and I really do appreciate it. You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, and the telephone number here is 323-642-1780. Okay, this evening's topic, again, is about the recent dismissal of the grievance against Mr. Christos Cheney, and I guess the other one is also the one about Dwight Witherspoon, and they were pretty much similar. But then again, you know, which grievance is valid for which period, and specifically which one, because whether I file a complaint in the first one versus the second one, does it really matter? I guess these are some of the questions that some of the people out there were reading, and we should get clarification on that. And because there's going to be some – I don't think that this is the end of it. And this radio show is not supporting either Christos Cheney or Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. This radio show supports the Navajo people, what is in the best interest of the Navajo people. And I was a candidate, but I'm not talking as a candidate. I'm talking as a concerned Navajo citizen today. So I am going to bring Mr. Richie Nez from the Navajo Nation Office of Hearings and Appeal. Aro asashin hiche dahoto zi ato neto lin dona gahate ako shi aro na nishish inigi the Office of Hearing Appeal. I'd like to hear all the process of how a specific complaint is filed and works through the process, because a lot of us, I don't think, understand really what that is. So, yeah, Lana. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Richie Nez from the Navajo Nation Office of Hearings and Appeal.
Mr. Cal Nez. Gennaro, Arizona, Hol, you had to add on Masha, he added just a K. I call this team the chief hearing officer. She said, no, I call the nomination business. I call it analysis, Mr. Des.
Okay. Of course, so let's get into the grievance process. Elections and office are hatoi hatil leja hatira shananta ko in kuroit o jon hilkolna
the present nomination code was drafted in 1980 in the late 1990s in response to the conflict that arose during the administration of Chairman McDonald. At that time, the tribal council put down these election laws. And so they put in two grievance periods. The first one is when you file for office, you pay your filing fee, and you fill out an affidavit, and you sign it before a notary public. And in that notary public, you are affirming to the election administration and to the Navajo people that you meet these various qualifications for whatever office you are filing for. The election administration is the one who passes on these qualifications. It doesn't go anywhere else. You pay your filing fee, and they take your word as true. And so they will send you a letter saying you are qualified and you are now a candidate for this particular office. Now, another candidate that runs for the same office, if they know or they have reason to believe that you do not meet the qualification under the tribal statute, they have 10 days after you have been deemed qualified to file a grievance against you. That grievance will then come before the Office of Hearings and Appeals, and reading from the four corners of the statement of grievance, if there is reason to believe that they have some facts that they have asserted, then the Office of Hearings and Appeals will schedule a hearing. And then the hearing will be held and a decision will come forth. During the recent election season, which we are still going under, nobody has filed a statement of grievance against another candidate saying they did not qualify or they do not meet any particular requirement. Now, understand that the Navajo Nation Supreme Court has said any voter cannot file a grievance. Only if you are a candidate for the same particular office, then you have what we call legal standing to file that grievance. Well, no grievances were filed during that period. That period lapsed.
You're talking about the first one, right? You're talking about the May grievance period.
The May grievance period. Some of these candidates were qualified by the election administration on April 25th. We're talking about Christmas cheating. Well, 10 days, not counting April 25th, there's a 10-day period when somebody, like you, for example, you ran for president. You had legal standing to file a complaint against Mr. Deschini. Well, nobody did. Well, that time expired. Now we go to the primary election. The primary election is 10 days. Within 10 days after the primary election, the conduct, the way the election was handled, That's the grievance period. That's the issues that we talk about this second round. So I hope I'm clear on that.
Okay, so let me just for the listeners, Ida Nutt, ACL Gizzy, for those that are just joining us right now, we have Mr. Richie Nez from the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals, and we're specifically talking about the grievance complaint filings and which one determines which one and so forth and so forth. So, this show is going literally all over the world. And, so, just to for the ones that are joining us just now, the process, what you just explained to me is that, yes, there's two, there are very specific grievances that must be applied at the first one, which is the May, and that is the first one is a candidate about another candidate. The second one is the conduct of the election. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
Okay.
You are correct.
Yeah. So is there so then another fact is that there is no reason why a grievance will not be accepted from a private citizen in either cases, in either the grievance period.
That's correct. According to the rulings of the Navajo Nation Supreme Court.
Okay, so if that's the case, then why? I'm just wondering why you think that is a rule that neither of this applies to a citizen.
The job of the Office of Hearings and Appeals is to apply the statute and how it's interpreted by the Supreme Court. To do otherwise, I would be subject to appeal and possible reversal or affirming my ruling. But I have one other hearing officer. All we do is we apply the statute and the Supreme Court rulings and apply those to the particular case that is before us at any one time.
Okay. So
you have mentioned...
Go ahead.
It doesn't matter if I agree with how it's interpreted or agree with how it's applied. My job as an attorney with the Office of Hearings and Appeals is just to apply the law and the facts as it is on the books.
Okay. So one of the things that you brought up twice now is the statute. I'm not sure if you have the copy in front of you. excuse me. If you can tell us what that statute specifically says.
I do not. I'm sorry, I do not. But there are two periods in a candidate's life, if you will, before he gets into office where grievances can be filed against him or he can file grievances.
Okay. So, and so let's say... let's backtrack a little bit, and that is that I wanted to walk through this thing. Let's say what I saw was the actual – your response to Mr. Hank Whitethorn and Del Soci and all of the others in reference to your explanation. And that's what prompted this radio show, and I've got a lot of people who are now dialed in and waiting on the phone. Some of them just call in just to listen, and some of them will probably have some specific questions. But excuse me. And having said that, now with let's take one of the candidates filing. You would go to the Office of Election, pick up papers, and you file your complaint. That is then filed with the Office of Election. Does the election office then, or yeah, go ahead, just kind of walk us through how the paper makes it to your desk. And also, I'd like to know who sits in on the hearing. Go ahead.
If another candidate or even a non-candidate thinks that they have a grievance against another candidate, they will go to the Navajo Election Administration. They will pick up a form called Statement of Grievance. And on that Statement of Grievance form, they will fill it out and then sign their name under Notary Public. They will take that form and file it with the Office of Hearings and Appeals. Office of Hearings and Appeals will then take that form, and according to Navajo Nation Supreme Court case law, we just look at the statement only. We don't do an independent investigation outside the complaint. If the complaint meets, if it affirms or alleges facts that I think should be heard, then we will file or we will schedule a hearing within 10 days, within 5 days, I think it was. And and then we have a hearing within 10 days, and then we issue a decision right away. These election cases
okay.
are on
who
a fast-track
basis. Who sits in on these hearings?
The person complaining against the person who is the subject of the complaint. They can bring their own witnesses. They can bring their own evidence, and it's before a hearing officer out of OHA.
Okay, so you're saying that you went through, and I saw quite a bit. I don't know I can't remember the total numbers. So each of these cases, you brought them in, both sides, including Mr. Deschini in every case. And also Dwayne Witherspoon was one of the respondents. And so you went through the hearing process so everybody heard it and everybody presented their evidence or what their complaints.
No. Let me explain that portion. When the Statement of Grievance comes before the Office of Hearings and Appeals, if it doesn't fit – if the facts do not fit the statutory guidelines, then we dismiss those complaints, and there is no further need for a hearing before OHA. Now, having said that, let me just tell you what you probably may not know as of this evening. Dale Soucy, who is one of the presidential candidates, who complained against Mr. Deschini, saying Mr. Deschini is not fluent in Navajo. He filed a complaint, as did others, and I dismissed his complaint because the period to contest a candidate's qualifications had long passed back in May. Well, Mr. Soucy got an attorney, and they have filed an appeal of my decision with the Navajo Nation Supreme Court. And today, this afternoon, I got a copy of the appeal from the Navajo Nation Supreme Court, and they will be having oral arguments at the Tuba City District Court on September 26th of this year at 9 in the morning. So the Supreme Court, let me just quote, "The parties are to thoroughly brief their arguments and be prepared to discuss pertinent legislative history, precedent, and the Nebebahazani. The issue is the issue is whether or not the time has passed, and if time has passed,
I am sorry, but for some reason your telephone line is really breaking up. We're nearly missing almost every other word. So it's either your connection or something's going on. So please know that. If you can maybe get into a different location wherever you're at, it's breaking down a little bit. These are very, very important information that the general public needs to hear.
How about now? Am I coming in any better?
Yeah, you're good now. Good.
Okay. So what part did you miss when I was explaining
this? Well, you were talking about the Tuba City, and that's kind of where it started breaking up.
Okay. Oral arguments. Dale Soucy versus Mr. Deschini. His case will be argued before the Navajo Nation Supreme Court, and that has been scheduled in Tuba City District Court on September 26, 2014, at 9 a.m. So at that time, the Supreme Court said, fully brief your arguments and be prepared to discuss legislative history, precedent, and the Nebebaz Ani. So I'm looking forward to those oral arguments.
And so the hearing that's part of the Office of Hearings and Appeals is where the hearing or the actual appeal is now has been recognized by the Supreme Court. Now, who from the Supreme Court, any specific person that reversed this and opened this up, or how did that go?
No. I have not been reversed. I'm just saying that Mr. Soucy appealed my order dismissing his case, and the Supreme Court has set an oral argument to hear his case on September 26th.
Okay. September 26th. So that is just a few days away, really. So, yeah, and so it's moving forward. And who do you? So I guess. Right now, it is in the hands of the Supreme Court, and who is so you're going to be there with your decision, and you're going to support your decision, of course, and also Mr. Deschini and Dale Soucy, and of course the judge and whatever witnesses. So that's going to be the setting. Am I correct on that?
Well, I plan to be there, not so much to support my decision, but I just want to hear the two sides argue their case before the Supreme Court.
Okay. Well, that is, I guess that's very good news for some people and not so good news for others. But nonetheless, you know, the process is taking place. Here's the part that I continually, I mean, just the, if you wouldn't mind, you know, I'm kind of taking another step backwards here back to the, what actually constitute a specific grievance. Let me take, for instance, I mean, I went through the process as a candidate mostly to really experience and to look at the entire Navajo Nation election process. And so including the campaign trail, being at the forum, and all of the various different factors, because I am very familiar with how the state of Utah and other national or, you know, the other states, how they handle and conduct their specific elections. Now, and I speak from experience, and that is that I went through the process, and I walked in there, to the Navajo Nation elections office, picked up the paperwork. They asked me, you know, they showed me this paper, that paper, and they said, okay, well, you know, you need to sign here, fill this out, yada, yada, yada. I then drove up to the, they told me to go up to Ethics and Rules. I went to Ethics and Rules, dropped, and then it took about five minutes at the most, and then they signed off a piece of paper, gave it back to me. I then added that sheet of paper to my stack, went back to the elections office within about a period of half an hour, filled out the rest of my paperwork, and they said, okay, well, here's your receipt for your $1,500. And nowhere at any point was there a discussion with me as to who the other candidates were, and neither was there any process that it described to me what the qualification criteria was. And I just glanced through. I says, okay, yes, I fit all of these. And I signed off. Now, you know, and then I went down the hallway, got my picture taken, click, click, and selected one of the pictures. And I was out there within about less than 1 hour through the whole process. Now, shortly after that, the steps that I went through to from that point all the way through August 26th was that we were on fast track, running like crazy, and my assumption was that, okay, when we first assembled was the first forum, and at that point, you know, it's very which was long past the grievance period. And at that point, the thing that came into my mind immediately when I was sitting as one of the audience, I didn't participate in the forum, but, oh, that person doesn't speak Navajo. It just wasn't just him. It was all the rest, which really takes me back through the entire process. Now, from your perspective, and did any of these things factor into your decision, or was it just basically just the letter of the law, rather, or is it the principle of the law? The principle of the law, if you can look at it from one standpoint, is that, okay, this, whether it is about language or the integrity of the culture, but nonetheless, we're going to have to go in there and explore. And is it about the language? Is it about the elections process? Because, you know, do you believe the election process is perfect? Does it need to be improved? And that's one of the things that we probably need to discuss in this. And did any of these questions or these things of what I shared with you about my experience factor into some of the possibilities? I didn't go around and call every candidate up, which is a total of 16 others, and saying, hi, do you speak Navajo? Do you not speak Navajo? Were you ever arrested? Blah, blah, blah. And so what do you think about this, Mr. Nez?
When the statements of grievances came before me, and they are alleging that Mr. Deschini doesn't speak Navajo, that wasn't the reason why I dismissed the grievances. At that point in time, at this point in time, to me, according to how I'm supposed to interpret the election code, that was not a concern at all. The only concern that I have is, did this particular candidate file a complaint about Mr. Deschini's lack or alleged lack of his fluency in Diné? Was that filed timely? We all know, living in the world, that there are statutes of limitations on anything. If you get hurt in an accident, well, you have X number of years to file a complaint in court. this is no different. The election code sets out statutes and limitations to file against a candidate's qualifications, and that's all I looked at. Now, whether or not I agree with that is not relevant in this context. I just simply interpreted the law and applied it.
And the law that you're talking about is that getting into, you know, now we're splitting hairs, but that is that the first grievance is where if there's a qualification criteria that's in question, so in other words, let's take Dale Soucy's case. You're basically saying that Dale Soucy should have complained about another candidate in the first grievance period.
That's correct.
Okay.
And
now,
and because he did not, I have no choice but to dismiss his complaint.
Okay. And then the second grievance period is about the conduct of the election. Now, what does that exactly mean to you?
Well, let me give you another example. The present Attorney General of the Navajo Nation, Harrison Soucy, was a candidate for a council delegate for Kayenta chapter, for Dunahotso chapter, and one other chapter. Well, he submitted a complaint, and he said the Kayenta Township, the officials and their employees did certain things which prevented me from campaigning properly. Well, now I'm concerned because that's about the conduct of the election. And so in that case, I took his complaint and I will be having a hearing on those allegations. And that will be heard on September 29 at 9 in the morning in Window Rock.
So that's on the other extreme, and that is that you have you're using that as an example that you've picked up on. That's the conduct of the because that is applicable after August 26th.
Yes.
Okay.
You're saying that during. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I'm looking at is that, if you're talking about the conduct, see, I want to look at that, what you mean by what distinguishes a conduct.
Let me give you another example. I had a hearing, two officials were subject to a recall election. 2 months ago, it was leading up to the election. The election administration was going to schedule a recall election, but before that time, these two officials that were the subject of recall petitions filed a grievance with my office, alleging that the recall circulators did not collect the signatures, but in fact, their relatives, their friends, collected the signatures and not them. Well, looking at the election code again, the election code says only if you have been certified to circulate a recall petition can that name be valid. Well, I had a hearing, and certain facts came out that, yes, their relatives and their friends did, in fact, circulate the petitions and not themselves. So I had no choice but to invalidate all of the names that they submitted. Not all of them, but the the names that was gathered by these unauthorized circulators, they were invalidated. That's the conduct of an election.
Okay. So now, you know, I guess another way you can look at the conduct of election, I mean, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here right now. I'm not in support of either, that this process, but it's interesting to follow it through, both from now looking at from the outside as well as having the experience to go through it as a candidate. But looking at this thing, when you talk about the conduct of an election, okay, now, doesn't looking at a qualification or the application of these qualifications, I don't know if that, you know, if I'm making sense here, the application of the statutes or provisions, whether it's done or not done, isn't that considered the conduct of an election? If somebody files about a particular candidate, not so much about a specific name, but saying that the Navajo Nation Office of Election Administration and Board did not apply or tested the candidate for the qualification criteria. Isn't that considered a conduct of an election? Whoops. We lost Mr. Nez. I hope he calls back in. Ladies and gentlemen, he's calling back in. So I will bring him back on. Mr. Nez, you dropped us a little bit there, and you're back. Thank you. Did you hear my question?
The election code is quite specific. The conduct of the election means what went on during election day, not when somebody's filing his petitions for candidacy, or not what happens when he's out there campaigning, but what actually happens during the primary election or the upcoming general election.
But wasn't his inability? I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. But let's take Mr. Discheatney, his inability his non-fluency, wasn't that happening also on the day of his election?
I don't know. I wasn't with him, and I can't answer that.
But right now, people, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, he even admits this himself, and that is that he's saying that he's not fluent in Navajo. Therefore, that, you know, the admittance and saying that I'm not fluent, that is considered part of the conduct of the election. In other words, the day that the election process is the day that he didn't know how to speak Navajo.
I'm just looking at the time period about his qualifications, when the election administration deemed him qualified during that particular time. And, of course, these issues will probably brought up at the Tuba City Oral Arguments before the Supreme Court.
Yeah, which is true, yeah. So, but it does make it very, very, very interesting that, you know, and I guess these are some of the questions that are going to come up and probably going to have to be addressed at that point. So we are about 45 minutes into the show, Mr. Naz, would you mind taking some questions if some of these callers, if they I got several people waiting on the phone, and so listeners and callers, please be professional, be civil, and this is not to go in there and to take a specific person or individual and profanity, any type of things like that. This is to get to the bottom of certain issues, and I guess that, you know, I'm not looking at this thing to go in there and to say, well, okay, a specific name. Unfortunately, a lot of, you know, it has gotten to the point now where we are now have to get name specific, but that's not in the trying to defame, destroy, hurt, or those type of things, and including, you know, the employees at the Office of Elections and also hearings and appeals, or even the ethics and rules. But I guess it's really coming down to, from what, like Mr. Nez, Mr. Richie Nez, is saying, that there are statutes, provisions, codes, what have you, that that everybody is trying to apply through this process. But I think all in all, you know, the last election, I mean, this is what I've said all along from this, from the beginning, right shortly after this thing, the last time it was about a Navajo woman, whether she should be a president or not. This phase, we are now faced with somebody's inability to speak Navajo. And really, what does that mean? So, and that's the nature of this telephone conversation and also this interview. Okay, so for all of those that are joining us, I would like to thank Mr. Richie Nez for joining us this evening for the Navajo Nation of Office of Hearings and Appeal. And he has just clarified to us what exactly, which one of the grievance period that he rules on, and it sounds to me like one of I guess it's just Mr. Sosie's. Yeah, that's another interesting question, because it just wasn't Del Sosie that filed. The other candidate was Hank Whitethorn. He was also a candidate, and I read his paper, and he basically said the same thing. And so I don't know, is his paperwork moving forward to Mr. Nez?
Mr. Whitethorn did not file an appeal.
Okay, okay. So he just, yeah, okay. So is there an appeal time period on that as well?
That passed, yes.
Okay, so, okay. So so having said that, would you be open to taking some calls, Mr. Nez?
I can give you about 10 minutes. After that, I've really got to run. But I do appreciate you calling, and I'll be happy to talk to a couple of them.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. So the caller, thank you for joining us this evening. Do you have a? Are you just listening in, or you have a specific question?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are on.
Oh, yeah, this is Vince Yazzie. Is there a procedure for the appeal to the Navajo Supreme Court? If the Rule 5D says you have to file a motion for reconsideration with the district court before it goes to the appeal process?
Mr. Nez.
Okay. Okay, this is not – the Office of Hearings and Appeals is not a district court. We are an administrative hearing body, administrative court, and you do not need to file a motion for reconsideration before you appeal. You can take the order from the Office of Hearings and Appeals and file it directly with the Supreme Court.
Caller?
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And there was a... that was one caller. So I've got another caller that I'm just bringing on. Yate caller, do you have a question for Mr. Nez? And Otto Nijeta Nijehara Hunneto
in Jahito. Are you talking about me?
Yep.
Hello?
You are on the air, sir. I can hear you.
I just had a question. Is this me that's on the air now?
You are on the air. You might want to turn your radio down or sound down because I can hear some feedback, so that's going to get you confused or there is a delay. Yeah, go ahead and ask Mr. Nez, and you are live on air. Your name and where you're calling from.
Okay, I'm calling from Tuba City, and my question is, from what I understand, the eligibility criteria that's in place for our Navajo in election processes, I'm not sure how, if it's for real or not, but I understand that those were drafted by a group of clerks back in the 70s, especially like one had to know how to speak Navajo fluently. You know, that if it's true, if there's some truth to it, that's almost ridiculous and stuff. And when can it be revised, and can it be revised? Because those policies and those rules and procedures are so outdated and stuff. You know, somebody in a situation like this uses those outdated policies in a desperate attempt to stop, you know, a legitimate candidate from becoming the president of the Navajo Nation. So I'm just saying, you know, update these policies every 4 years or something like that. Come here, wake up, buddy.
Okay, hold on. Mr. Nez.
Talk to your council delegates. Talk to them and tell them that it needs to be updated. Hearings and Appeals Office here in Wundry does not legislate. We don't enact new laws. We don't amend laws. We just apply them. But if you need the election laws updated, talk to your local legislature.
Mr. Nez, is this gentleman correct in terms of who drafted the law the statute about what he's talking about? Is he correct on that?
My understanding is the election, this was drafted by the, in the late 80s, by a committee. It wasn't in the 60s, but it was in the 80s. And then after the 80s, they set up the Navajo Board of Election Supervisors, and they're the ones that started applying these laws.
So it wasn't done by a group of clerks?
No.
So that is incorrect. So, caller, does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, it does in that sense and stuff, but how much truth to it is. But if you really read into those policies and try to look at it and find meaning into it, there's no depth in it. You know, you can just tell that somebody just basically maybe on a Friday afternoon, 4:30, slap some of those policies together and stuff. And that's what I'm upset about as a voter.
Yeah, caller, let me ask you a question. Are you talking about the statute? Are you talking about the qualification criteria? What specifically do you think that makes it sound like it's ridiculous?
I mean, eligibility criteria. There's several items that's listed on the eligibility criteria, and some of them don't apply to this day and age. And that's why
Which one specifically?
Do you have to talk Navajo fluently? That's one of them. You know, I don't think that should apply in this day and age.
Any input on that, Mr. Ness?
Yes. The Supreme Court, Navajo Supreme Court, has invalidated certain qualification provisions throughout the years. For example, there was a case involving Kay Bennett, and the grievance against her was that she did not previously work for the Navajo Nation. And the Supreme Court threw out that provision. Another case, the Supreme Court invalidated the residency requirements. So you don't actually have to be a resident of the Navajo Nation in order to run for president of the Navajo Nation. Those cases, those qualifications have been brought before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has invalidated some of those provisions. Now this particular statute is now before the Supreme Court, and I'm waiting to see how they rule.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think you've pretty much covered and just kind of updated and what some of the criteria is, and according to what this last caller said, and that is that, some of the issues that he has is really about the qualification criteria, that it should be revisited, fixed, updated, what have you. And from what you're saying, Mr. Nez, is that they have been updated and been probably will continue to be updated. And if anybody has any specific issues with that right now, is that they can certainly begin a legislative process to make those changes.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, I think our 10 minutes is pretty much up, and I'll go ahead and conclude this conversation. And ladies and gentlemen, this evening we had Mr. Richie Nez from the Navajo Nation Office of Appeals. And again, those are some of the callers that called in and wanted to join us. And I want to thank Mr. Nez for joining us. I want to just give him his last departing words before he goes. And Shinanta, he had lan adan he joins nado kwanti hun long 1 hour's 1 hour as li ako. So I'll give you as much time as you want to share your summary or your words. Yeah.
Ako sila ado kya ado ndos nan tar Mr. Nez iko do anit la Mr. Nez kiti ne konde do e kya onil zunda akonda shin kodo she ya tan shinigi do ato nan shini kodo ne cha da os sin ako ti de shin asha ni ben dai to sket ha ile ben na di ta ya o zi to ha ile ben na di ta sin ti ti shin ta mo sun ako shin di kat huil te kon it e ako tu besuri de shin ba huin ti no le ako aro ajin na hot ao shin sha shin ha ta in na do ta I go to even the leadership has an gate or code cases gay nil in do halit aw ya the chenaz na lahat aw ya no dot as aw ta de code on the anders office of hearings of the fields I go here I go to she's season of fall I go she hajo jonga da kirole I go to hagona
hagona oh. That was Mr. Richie Nez. Thank you very much. And I do appreciate him calling in. That's not very many people that I have invited from various different offices that do show up. And I am very, very pleased and impressed with that he was able to call in. So if any of you would like to call in and share some of your opinions and your insight. Here's, I guess, in all, whether we're complaining about various different parts of the law, provisions, statute, first grievance, second grievance, but I guess we are really, it tells something. And what do you think that telling is? And that telling is, what is that telling about our culture? Is it something, is about the letter of the law or the principle of the law? And what I mean by that is that I believe that all of these questions are really coming down to that the Navajo people, the Navajo tribe, the government, really where are we in terms of our tradition? Are we, like I said last time, we were talking about the Navajo Nation, the last election, whether a woman should be a president or not. This time we're talking about the ability to talk Navajo fluent. And again, my focus, my job, and what I want to do is to be able to share in this particular radio forum what it is that we need to have an open dialogue. People need to call in and share their ideas, and because this is part of the process. This radio show is archived. It's listened by thousands of people, and we all learn, we all educate. This opens a dialogue for all of us to improve the system. We know that the system is there. It's not perfect, but it doesn't mean that we can't filter in, we can't talk about it. And I think that a lot of the people are very articulate from out there. Of course, I heard it during the campaign. I would have rather jumped in there and made a discussion about the about some of these issues, and I think that some of the attempts were there, and the format of the each of the forums, which only allowed everybody a specific question. You couldn't question each other. You couldn't, you know, it was only geared to those questions, and then of course your concluding statement, and you only had to apply or talk about your platform, not so much about, well, some of the issues in the debate. You can go in there and face another candidate and say, okay, well, this is what I'd like to ask you, so forth and so forth. But, you know, it just didn't work out that way. And so, which leaves a lot of room for discussion. And this specific case, according to Mr. Richie Nez, the Dale Soucy's complaint has been moved, did appeal the dismissal, and therefore it is going to the Navajo Nation Supreme Court in Tuba City on September 26th at 9 a.m. Ako she she aj she des do leto ako she ad e ba ne ti do leto ko ti de ku she. A lot of the people were very concerned that some of the process, it didn't happen. Now, I guess depending on what the arguments are over there, I guess that's really going to determine where our Navajo Nation government is headed. Okay, so, you know, the line is open. You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. This is Cal Nez. My telephone number here, you can call in and ask or present your opinion, your thoughts, your ideas, what have you. Telephone number is 323-642-1708, and we will be back in a few minutes, and we'll open up the lines again. Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And this is Cal Nez and Lana. We were just talking about or with Mr. Richie Nez from the Navajo Nation hearings and appeals. And he gave us his criteria and what he has ruled on and why some of those are grievances have been dismissed. And of course, as you know, this is going to be a continuation now that the one of the dismissal has been there has been an appeal made by Dale Soucy, and that is moving forward into the hands of the Navajo Nation Supreme Court. So Navajo Nation, one of the criteria for the qualification for a candidate, every 4 years the hot oh edin log e change and go hot oh nan e do hit oh the election process e hot aid or less no e hot oh ye hot the a co did she could also share it so that all this side hot oh so be has the to did it a seda a d satin a son a don hinantado a doto lista. No, a last time, hutoi, banit, cardigage, a coin, his zad, hey, hutoi, nevzad, ye yaski, doititza, joe, hutoi, cardig, aj, hoto, hananaski. A course, kahasi, so con, hey, hit oi ban, so case. Khalegi lay hatilabna hut oido jon khashanil kir na hallen akotida zita ni parats ni hut odin hizad lini dat hut orats patati khata ze ei de jo ei hut o jo honda na etiket akotisa caller konda he's hanging on the phone. And he specifically brought up one of the criteria, which is the inability or that a candidate should be fluent. I'm going to bring him back on and caller, if you wouldn't mind, since you're the only caller that's on the line. By the way, there's a lot of feedback in the background. I can hear a lot of people talking. There's a lot of noise in the background, caller. So I'm gonna talk to you about specifically what you brought up and why that you think. And I want to just I just want to kind of play the other side of the coin, if you wouldn't mind. Is that okay, caller?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're talking to me, but that's fine. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you. Yes, sir. Yeah, you. So you brought up the you said that you didn't want you felt like that that the Navajo fluency was not what was your concern about that provision, that qualification?
Yeah, I was just my concern was that my take on this is that they should update those provisions, update the eligibility criteria so anybody can run that wants to run for the Navajo Nation president without no hardly any limitations and stuff. Because I don't think we, in this day and age, we're in the 21st century and stuff, and we're still
you know, I want to be represented by a leader, an Navajo Nation president that is well-versed in being able to address critical issues, delicate issues, intricate issues on the national level on behalf of our Navajo Nation. You know, and that takes and requires, you know, a good command of the English language. You know, and although our language is sacred and it's special, I still think that, you know, that, you know, the ability to communicate effectively in the English language takes precedence over speaking Navajo. And I myself is certified in the New Mexico and Arizona State Supreme Court as a Navajo interpreter. And I understand Chris Dishini when he talks in Navajo. There are some limitations and stuff. But there's 17 people that ran. Half of those people can't really, they have trouble putting, you know, concepts and ideas on the table in the Navajo language. You know, hold that thought for a second. I know one of the guys that filed grievance against Mr. Dishini for not being fluent in Navajo, one of those candidates does not know, has very limited ability to speak in the English language. So, you know, it works, it can have its impact both ways. You know, I'd rather be, I mean, maybe one of the eligibility criteria should be that the person has to have a good command of the English language too, but it's not written that way.
Yeah.
So
let me. Well, thanks, caller. You know, I appreciate it, and we're going to go back and forth, okay? If you wouldn't mind. I mean, I just want to just kind of play on the other side. Let me just ask you some questions, and you know, this is not. You know, I'm not, you know, since, you know, you're talking about this, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I just want to just, you know, ask you some questions, but yet at the same time, you know, it's going to be education for all of us, and I think it's healthy to talk about this, and I do appreciate your willingness to talk. Now, let me play from the other side of the equation. Let's say I'm a traditionalist. Now, my question to you would be this: if you say that the Navajo language is important, but in the same statement you said, but speaking English is more important. So, are you saying that the Navajo culture or the language would be secondary to another language? Is that what you're saying? And remember, we're not going to get into an argument. I'm just asking this question, so you know, just
yeah,
so that we all
what?
Have an understanding. Go ahead.
You know what? We, as a Navajo Nation, we're going through some growing pains, and we've got educational issues to discuss. We got economic issues to discuss. We got law enforcement issues to discuss. We got health issues to discuss, and there's so many issues on the national level dealing and communicating, coordinating, and cooperating with the congressmen, senators, D.C. offices, and me as a voter, I'd rather be represented by somebody that has a strong command of the English languages and stuff. You know what, president, Navajo Nation president can't be everywhere. He can't be like 10, 20 different places at the same time. And that's why we have leaders, local leaders, council delegates. They need to step up to the plate and start communicating with the people, the local people. The vice president, they can delegate some of those responsibilities to communicate with our elders and stuff. That's where I'm coming from. You know, just relax a little bit. Loosen up on the policies and stuff, or at least update the eligibility criteria for a Navajo Nation president. You know, I'll say it again, when Chris Dishini talks, I understand him in Navajo.
Yeah, yeah. So, so if you were, if it was given to you as a responsibility to change the law, how would you word it?
I would
like
change.
In reference, like about the language, would you leave it in there, change it, or would you totally take it out? Are you there?
Well, yeah. I'm eating as I'm talking to you, so excuse me. Language?
Yeah.
You know, I still feel like what prevails is the ability to be able to advocate on behalf of the Navajo people as effectively as possible on the national level. We have enough people here at the local level to communicate with each other in Navajo. So that's where I'm coming from. We got a lot of Navajo, young Navajos that don't talk Navajo. But they are sharp, they're intelligent, they have inquisitive analytical minds and stuff. They could be professional leaders of our nation. Why do we weed them out just because they can't talk Navajo? You know, that's kind of like the trend. You know what, eventually going to come to a point in our day and age that we're going to have more Navajos that will not be able to talk Navajo, and we need to start getting prepared for, you know, to kind of go in that direction.
So, even, I mean,
like I said, 17 candidates, half of them spoke Navajo, but I can tell they're having trouble communicating in depth to be able to perceptualize some thoughts and ideas into the Navajo language. Even you yourself, Calvin, I know you talk Navajo, but I know you struggle with it sometimes, off and on. So who determines what fluency means? And
exactly.
how do you determine the quality of fluency in the talking in the Navajo language?
Yeah. And that's exactly where I am going with this whole thing, and that is that who determines what fluency means? But you know, like I said, as far as fluency is, does that dictate the fact that this person can learn a scripted language or a scripted paragraph? Does that qualify him and as fluent? And well, let me ask you: if you're saying that. And you're right, there's a lot of other very, very important and pressing issue that is facing our Navajo Nation. And we ought to be thinking outside the box, and which is true. But yet at the same time, thinking inside the box, inside the res, we have the elderly. Then what? Caller.
They can call me and I'll interpret it for them.
Ha ha ha. Boy, I tell you, you probably have one heck of a good job if that's, you know, if that's the case. So now, just in closing, one of the things that I want to do is this, I want to just, so do you think that because of the reality that some of our kids are now losing the language, and it's a real fact. It's something. So does that mean that we're going to have to begin as a Navajo Nation that we ought to relax some of our Navajo Nation laws or our expectation in terms of traditional proliferancy?
Yeah, we have to sooner or later, plain and simple.
And you think that that's, and what do you think about that? Do you think that that's, that would be good, or is it just that we're, the next go-round, it's going to be something else?
We need somebody that has the precision, the capability to be able to communicate effectively in the English language. Arizona State Senate, New Mexico State Senate, Utah. So that's what I mean. They need to have that shared responsibility.
Yeah. So, so in other words, yeah, the shared responsibility, and we are now, so in other words, what you're saying is that we are now in a new era and a new time, and we ought to make our laws so that they make it so that it's equal to our day and time. So that's what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, let's not limit our kids. We have a lot of intelligent, smart Navajos that have some analytical thoughts and processes. They have those capabilities and abilities. Why should we weed them out? Why do we stop them? Why do we have hang on to this old eligibility criteria that they have to talk Navajo?
Yeah.
Involve our
yeah.
young people.
Yeah. Mr. Mix, thank you very much. And sharing your ideas and your thoughts. So, called in because tomorrow night we're going to have the Navajo Nation Oil and Gas, and we're going to have Leonard L. Sosi and Louis Danette Sosi from the there. So you got some very good ideas, Shananta. So call in again, and thank you so much for sharing your ideas with us. And and we'll talk to you again very soon. Of course, so siso are and Dyson Sado de this evening, Van 18 you know, Austin Mix. I mean, he just shared with, you know, what a lot of people are thinking. And, of course, there's also the other side of the equation. That is that, you know, such a thought or the I mean, it's very true. The Navajo Nation, we are evolving. But I guess, you know, that's something for you to answer, and that is that by us evolving, does that justify the fact that, you know, we should just let things go? And I think that's something that people ought to look at that, and you know, maybe that's going to be translated in the context of our Navajo Nation government and the Navajo Nation Supreme Court. Yeah. And it looks like Joey Conte's we got another caller. Caller, you are on the air, 8070. Tell us what your thoughts are.
Kel Niv.
Ooh, yeah, hey.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Ooh, we can
this
hear
is,
you.
Yeah, this is Ed Vicente.
Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, Ed Picante. Yeah, hey, who?
There you go, Mr. Salsa.
Sure. Oh,
yeah,
hey, let
me be blunt here. Let me get to the point here. Having the biggest tribe in the country, the biggest land-based tribe in the country, Navajo, with maybe 300,000-plus Navajos, and not all are full-blooded Navajos. You know, we're kind of mixed, a certain percentage. But, you know, if you want to lead a country that big, that large, and you're Navajo, the whole world, I think, would like to see someone fluent both in Navajo and in English. And the candidate that runs for president of this largest tribe should know all the issues that are affecting the people in New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. That's how big we are. We have 110 communities out there. Every chapter is different. A majority of the chapters, majority of the communities speak Navajo. They only understand Navajo. It is true, the younger ones don't really know or talk Navajo. Issues are at hand. That's why people run for president, is to, you know, people are unemployed. They're looking for housing, jobs. There's natural resources being given away. There's, you name it. Even now, the oil and gas, the fracking, the save the confluence. I mean, there's all kinds of issues out there. Now, if you want to lead your people, you have to go throughout to these communities, especially the ones, like I say, Black Mesa, Annis, Utah, Pueblo Pintado, you know, Nayizi. You have to understand the language. I mean, they're going to talk to you in Navajo, and they want you to respond in Navajo because they're trying to tell you their issues on what's going on out there. Now, if you bring along a translator, whether certified or not, interpreter, that doesn't cut it to me. And the people will testify, the traditional fluent Navajo people will say, and they'll turn around, they'll walk away, they'll walk off. So remember, even though there's a big, let's say, uprising saying they should do away with the qualification that you got to be fluent in Navajo, maybe down the road, yes, but not now. Right now, I've seen a lot of young people voting based on popularity. The people that voted for, let's say, Christus Cheney as well as Joe Shirley It's all popularity. They don't know the issues, and even the two candidates don't really know all the issues. So anyway, that is my point tonight, Cal. Thank you.
Ed, hang on. Now, having said that, and I really appreciate it, I think those are very powerful words, and, you know the dynamics of how things are out there, having worked with grassroots people. Now, as we move, and you said, I mean, again, see, this is the thing that I'm going to continue to look for. Chudika Dineni Dini, the Navajo Nation, Chud Kadeti de Kwegi Anahoti Joy Aja E Kadek Aja Bani Kainhadlisli. Do we relax now and loosen up some of our rules and regulations so that it's concurrent and up to date, so to speak? Or, Mr. Bacenti, do you think that we ought to make it even more stronger and hang on to what is left of our Navajo culture, and that includes language, that if we continue to set a very high bar saying that we expect our children, we expect our leaders to be fluent, is that going to change the tide, or do you think that later on, well, we can change? What do you think?
Well, it's obvious with the 17 candidates, a lot of young candidates that ran for president, but I was hoping they would have done a lot better job running for council because they didn't have the voting base, the voting base or the voting block or the party, you know, to make a difference. They were too young, and not too many people across the reservation knew them. I mean, that's why I'm saying they would have been better off. But it is time for a change, a huge change across the board. Title One all the way to whatever, Title 20, whatever. All these laws and policies have to be changed. And like the gentleman said, they have to be updated. They have to be updated. What's funny is a lot of the past presidents, past tribal officials, even the current council delegates and the past council delegates, they knew all about this. They had a chance to change policy, everything, but they never did nothing. So now the people are upset, you know, just because, you know, let's say the fluency issue. It's drawn a lot of attention, and I know it is time for a new government, new laws, new policies, update this whole government, change everything, not just the language, but you know, across the board.
Yeah, and I think that that's why we elect people. And that is that once they get into office, then we shouldn't just stop there. We should stay and continue to press and tell our council delegates, our chapter officials, that we need to start legislation, what have you, to get everything started. And that's what makes the process unique. Now, since you bring up Title One all the way to 20, total numbers, but what do you think is plaguing, really, if there's one of those titles, those codes, which one do you think that, if you were to recommend to the Navajo Nation government, this is the first one that we change, which one would you recommend?
The main one, probably Title II.
And why?
Government base, you know. There's talk of implementing a constitution, going back to the chairmanship. I mean, these these thoughts, comments are coming from the people. It's not coming from me or you, but it's coming from all over. Every chapter, you know, they want something to happen as soon as possible. The young people are into technology. I mean, they're waiting to help with this change. But the problem, the real problem is Wonder Rock, central government. There is too much corruption going on in Wonder Rock today, just too much corruption. And, you know, like I said, Title II is probably number one. And, you know, but everything will be up to the people, not central government, not the president, not the delegates, but every chapter needs to get involved. And I know every chapter, they're full of talented people. Every chapter, they have talented people. I mean, they have professional people in every chapter. That's how much respect I have for all these chapters.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think that, you know, Title II, you know, I think you hit it right on the button. A lot of people don't know the history. It's dictating our government in a lot of ways that we just only address and talk about the tip of the iceberg. Title II, because it is supposed to be a temporary law. Yen, you know, how old is it? 30 years old. There's a lot of the balance of power is over in the legislative branch, and because of that, there's a lot of imbalance within the Navajo Nation government. Ada Tsipinina Kon that the Navajo Nation government do Jokil Yedan Hadlin. What do you think about that, Mr. Vicente?
Well, I think myself, I think majority of the Navajo people are aware of that we're not moving anywhere. In fact, I think we're kind of going backwards, you know, one day at a time. Candidates for president come and go, you know, they spend 4 years. Nothing is accomplished. All of a sudden, they're back again. 4 years go by. Nothing happens again at the chapter level. And, you know, people gave up. A lot of people gave up on voting. They gave up. They don't want to vote. I mean, they got tired. They got tired of broken promises. And then you have the new ones that listen, that watch the adults. If the parents or the adults say, I'm not going to vote, just think what the young ones are going to say.
Yeah, very good point. Otto, so anything else that you, what do you think should happen now with this issue about Navajo fluency?
Well, you know, there are appeals and processes, you know, there's jurisdiction, there's a Bill of Rights, you know, and all those will probably be, you know, executed, you know, to the full extent of the law or the policy. And once they're exhausted, I guess, you know, whoever's in charge of making the final decision on the appeals or whatever, or, you know, for the upcoming election in November, and so be it. But legislation... Council, the way they've been practicing implementing legislation to change a title, a code, or whatever, they do it, they do it real fast. They do it within like in a heartbeat, like in a day. They convene, they call a special meeting, and then somebody introduces the legislation. They run it through the four committees, and then Nabikiatkit. All of a sudden, it's either on one of the four council sessions, or they call a special council session, they vote on it, and they pass the legislation. I mean, they can do this with the fluency issue, but they won't because, you know, right now you have one candidate that half the people are supporting Joe Shirley, the other half are supporting Chris Cheney, and then you have a whole huge sector that don't want to vote for either one, and a lot of them are saying, I'm not going to vote. And then some are saying, no, let's find a write-in candidate because there's so much, you know, there's so much to lose. And when you look at the voting numbers, the percentages, I think only like 40% voted in the primaries, which means like 60, there's another 60% of the registered voters that never voted or didn't vote in the primaries. So the general election, I think, might change everything, but I don't know.
Yeah. So really, so in essence, you said that, you know, 50%, you know, of the voting is the went with Shirley, and then the other, so you kind of define three different groups, the one that went with Shirley, this Cheney, and the ones that don't want to vote. But, you know, I've had people also bring out the fact that, you know what, between the 10,000 and the 9,000, that's 19, about 20,000. And then if you add up the remainder candidate, the remaining 16, that total combined actually is equal and if not more. So not everybody was on board with those two candidates. So that's kind of an interesting equation. But nonetheless, as we move forward, what do you think about? I mean, does that say that now we have the traditional against the young generation?
No, we have a mix. We have a mix of traditional youth elders on one side, and then we have the same for the other side. But the third group is the same. You have traditionalist elders, and you have some young professionals, like the grassroots. They have a lot of young professionals within the organizations. But again, it comes down to, well, let's say the third party are the ones that don't really want to, they have no vote of confidence in the two candidates we have right now. And they're the ones that are more highly educated in all the tribal issues at hand. They know more about what's going on in the outside world. You know, they know about corporations coming in trying to, you know, to take advantage of a weak government. But then the other two, you know, they were voted in based on popularity. The young people that didn't know how to speak Navajo, that didn't understand Navajo, it was obvious. You know, they're young professionals too, you know, but they jumped on with Chris Cheney. And on the other side, you have your traditional people that speak fluent Navajo, understand Navajo. They went with Joe Shirley because Joe Shirley is traditionally, that's his image. You know, that's how he got in 12 years ago, and then 8 years ago. So anyway, so it's going to go back and forth. You know, every 4 years this happens. You know, families break up, or you know, people divide because they want to go this direction with this individual, and then the other group, they go this way. So once the election is over in November, we have a new president, whatever, everything will settle down again for the next 3 years. And then the fourth year, we'll be back, you know, people will be throwing mud again. if things don't change.
We hope that somewhere along the line that now, here's one interesting thought. You know, because here's some of the thoughts, is that if people are really about tradition, so like one of the candidates was saying, maybe I want to just go back and just totally do this. This is all a Bilagana's form of government. So I think we should consider and filter in some of the Navajo traditional ways. You know, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking hypothetical now, and I think that, what do you think? Is that, are we going to continue to strengthen this white man's form of government? Or if we really are sovereign, should we be looking at our own way? And our own way, Yishen, what is that going to be? So that we get away from this, you know, is it the white man's system? Is it that we sit here and fight like crazy every 4 years, or is it going to be based on keh? And what is that? What is the Navajo traditional way of selecting our leaders?
Okay, real quick. Number one, we need to see the platform, Joe Shirley's platform. We need to see Chris Ashini's platform for the next 4 years. We need this done right away. Number two, the way I see things is that there's no way we're going to go back in time. There's no way we're going to go back and recapture the real traditional culture. The language, the Navajo language will change. The way the Navajo people will speak their Navajo language tomorrow into the future will be totally different from the way they used to talk in the past. It's going to change. It has to. But the good thing is technology is capturing our old traditions. They're being recorded, and they're coming back through applications on, you know, software. You know, the language is going to come back. You know, it's an application today. Keyboards are in Navajo. What will really help the Navajo people is if we finally take hold of our educational system. We need to start teaching our young people about the past, who, you know, where we came from, and where we're at, and where we're going in the future. Right now, we're teaching our kids about the outside world, and that's not good. I mean, that will eventually kill us if we allow, you know, educating our young people about the outside world and they need to know about who they are, who their, you know, grandparents, great grandparents, you know, the long walk, the death march, all this stuff. They need to know about that. Once you teach these young people, they're going to find out who they really are.
Yeah. Very nice. Very well said. Lana Shananta, Ed Bacenti. That was Mr. Ed Bacenti, and he shared some very in-depth, very words of wisdom. Lana. Ako so kroche e chene neto leto aro are da esno tsagi jode a nira esro chho ego kuje e anaho ti hazli do chdo e shi a kuje e don tita khashin zago nas ko ite skago ko e ba ne ido leto ko de shi a ni kuje e hoto vela tata hashi do ko e ba do hishi jon kha do hishi Dean, he Navajo people, though Navajo nation, called it. He not had that lie, Joy Hit Oiban, CK, so it's even Yahoo Obanit. According to Nenny Tlini, the Navajo language, though our Navajo way, though called it, Joe Hit Oin his Bahuzan. Deed that say Joe in Hahastui, the way that Hot Oi did in Nadinla. Do to on hina ha ntaha ao do ko e yan tsta skezo e shen hu to de na ha ta wo ye shen hu to yi te zo do e to e to betrago do e to jinichin ne o betrage e to e do hu to e hat ya dan sen bisan lo do kon yan tsta skezo yan ta sti tu e shen ben e shen hu to ta ya Ako even in nature, ako juni kade tishji de konde, nchada hishji kade che de sitli, to kade nhe kuje joe huto in hi kedat izlad nhalen. Kroi kade nasu de huini tahto le, ako joe tensen, Askahasinso. Tilita ni huto genies na. Tala huto hashin zagi sahashin old sad ne huta nisle domenasena ashkosita nisle. A hut eshi itena hata ulye with zili. Toi toi is nothing easy. Toi 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 harishi to heso e ito li. Heso huto e huto yan sik heso li. So in here. Kare huto an hada hui shish. A ko dida. Huto e huto shaban so keso le skaha sinso. Tid nebizad ul ye aron he or in ton hi to zen ton hi yin. Ton hi na haga do de kui go shin jo e huto an hi spa huzen. E de e hei to e to di ye go to e ba ta shi je do le sa tse. E do ta gada tse do ka o shi sho. Well, that's something for you to answer. Or well, let's loosen up the laws. Khala nkhalchine kare nekeshto yadastida. Ero ta sachugodatse. Ako eban sokhe to lekho hasilo. Jo ebeni yet. Ako jo this is not anything about a very specific person. It could have been anybody else. Predominantly that's where our younger generation. Jo aj ehuta. Now, is that going to force us to go in there and to think about our own tradition? Tomorrow night, on this program at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Mr. Leonard L. Sosi. He is the board chair for the Navajo Nation Oil and Gas, and Mr. Louis Annette Sosi tomorrow night. And they've agreed to be on the air and talking about the ongoing stuff at Navajo Nation Oil and Gas. I think this is a very, very good night. I appreciate all the callers and listeners, and also Mr. Richie Nez for clarifying. And just for an update, on September 26th, the Navajo Nation Supreme Court is going to consider the appeals for the for Mr. Dale Sosi, who filed against Mr. Chris Deschini for his for the Navajo fluency issue. This is an opportunity, I guess, that if the Supreme Court rules in Mr. Sosi's favor, then I guess that might just change the dynamics of the election. So we're not done, ladies and gentlemen. And then I guess the next question, and we'll have this on our next show, and that is that let's take some another hypothetical here. If Mr. Chris Deschini is moved out and is disqualified, then who is coming in next? Mr. Russell Begay? Think about that. And are we ready for... are we all going to be in favor of that? So again, we'll be talking to you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Lana, thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah.